quoting from the brass plates, specifically from the book of Isaiah, in 2 Nephi chapter 25, Nephi says the following. Verse 1, "Now I, Nephi, do speak somewhat concerning the words which I have written, which have been spoken by the mouth of Isaiah. For behold, Isaiah spake many things which were hard for many of my people to understand, for they know not concerning the manner of prophesying among the Jews." Verse 3, "Wherefore I write unto my people, unto all those that shall receive hereafter these things which I write," and that's us, "that they may know the judgments of God, that they come upon all nations according to the word which he has spoken." I want to pay a particular attention to that. "That they may know the judgments of God." Verse 7. "Behold, I proceed with mine own prophecy according to my plainness, in the which I know that no man can err." This part right here. "Nevertheless, in the days that the prophecies of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, men shall know of a surety at the times when they shall come to pass." Verse 8. "Wherefore they are of worth unto the children of men, and he that supposeth that they are not, unto them will I speak particularly, and confine the words unto mine own people." Right here. "For I know that they shall be of great worth unto them in the last days, for in that day shall they understand them. Wherefore, for their good have I written them." The same thing can be said about these chapters in 3 Nephi. No one will understand the fulfillment of events prophesied by God's holy prophets, especially those of us who have the Book of Mormon and are using it for a pattern to discern events coming to pass in our very day. We will recognize and identify these events in our day more than any other people who have read the Book of Mormon prior to this, because these events are being fulfilled before our very eyes. 3 Nephi chapters 1 through 5 represent events that have taken place in our recent past. 3 Nephi chapter 6 represents events currently taking place in our present, and 3 Nephi chapter 7 and moving forward from there represent events about to take place in our future. 3 Nephi chapter 7 verse 1. "Now behold, I will show unto you that they did not establish a king over the land." The people being spoken of here are those lawyers and judges and their friends in high places, including apostate members of Christ's church who had entered into a secret combination based on that covenant which was given by them of old to combine against all righteousness. These are they spoken of in verse 1 who sought to establish a king through a political coup and overthrow the government of the people. Back to verse 1. "But in this same year, yea, the 30th year, they did destroy upon the judgment seat, yea, did murder the chief judge of the land." These traitors had infiltrated the highest levels of government power, and some were in positions of trust to those who were duly elected by the voice of the people. I am sure this assassination, even though we don't have the details, was an inside job. Just a few weeks before his assassination on November 22, 1963, and according to a New York Times article dated April 25, 1966, President Kennedy said that he planned to splinter the CIA in 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. The government files on the assassination of John F. Kennedy have been sealed to the public for 56 years. Those files are now coming available to the public, and we will find out once and for all who really murdered the President of the United States. Let us never forget the words of the Lord spoken in section 38, beginning in verse 28. And again I say unto you that the enemy in the secret chambers seeketh your lives. Verse 29. You hear of wars in far countries, and you say that there will soon be great wars in far countries. Watch this. But ye know not the hearts of men in your own land. Verse 30. I tell you these things because of your prayers, the Lord said. Wherefore, treasure up wisdom in your bosoms, lest the wickedness of men reveal these things unto you by their wickedness, in a manner which shall speak in your ears with a voice louder than that which shall shake the earth. But if you are prepared, you shall not fear. And speaking of these great latter-day secret combinations in section 123, given in March of 1839, while the prophet was a prisoner in Liberty Jail, he said the following, starting in verse 13. Therefore, we should waste and wear out our lives in bringing to light all the hidden things of darkness. Look at your footnote under 13b, and you'll see that it says secret combinations, wherein we know them, and they are truly manifest from heaven. The knowledge of the secret things of darkness in the telestial world can only really be discerned when they are revealed to us by the powers of heaven. We need to have the companionship of the Holy Ghost as we look around ourselves, listening to the cacophony of competing voices for our attention, and all that is before our eyes and in our ears, in order to stay upon the straight and narrow path. Verse 14, these, meaning the hidden things of darkness, should then be attended to with great earnestness. It should not be dismissed as conspiracy theories, or the ravings of a frenzied mind, or right-wing lunaticism. Verse 15, let no man count them, count what? Bringing the things that are of darkness into the light. Let no man count them as small things. Watch this part. For there is much which lieth in futurity pertaining to the saints, which depends upon these things. These things is all focused upon bringing hidden things of darkness into the light when they are manifest to us from heaven. Back to 3 Nephi chapter 7, verse 2. And the people were divided one against another, and they did separate one from another into tribes, every man according to his family and his kindred and friends. And thus they did destroy the government of the land. The murder of the chief judge by these king men did not bring about the desired result they had of being able to usurp a central federal government, which would place them in a position of power to rule over the whole nation. Now we have a nation of sovereign states loosely organized on a local level without a centralized federal system of governance. It's the federal government in our day that binds the states together, that gives unity to the whole. The United States of America is united because of a federal government. the Constitution of the United States, the federal constitution, is the pattern for all state constitutions and the organization of all state governments. All of the state governments are organized after the pattern of the federal government. One of the great challenges of the Constitutional Convention, held between May 25th and September 17th of 1787, was to bring a unanimous consensus of the proceedings of the convention between the various state delegates. Without a federal government in the United States, each state would become completely sovereign, operating within its own state borders and according to its state government organization and constitution. Verse 3, and every tribe did appoint a chief or a leader over them, and thus they became tribes and leaders of tribes. Verse 4, now behold, there was no man among them save he had much family and many kindreds and friends. Therefore their tribes became exceedingly great. Is this our future? Is chapter 7 the pattern for things to come? Will the President of the United States be assassinated? Will the federal government fail? And are the tribes mentioned in these verses representative of the various states within the United States of America, which are no longer united, but diverse? Verse 5, now all of this was done, and there were no wars as yet among them. And all this iniquity had come upon the people, because they did yield themselves unto the power of Satan. The failure of a central government destroys a national economy and its medium of exchange, its currency and money. All of the money exchanged throughout the United States of America, and for that matter, the world, are the federal, notice that word, reserve notes, or in better constitutional times, U.S. Treasury notes, all printed by the federal government. The failure of the U.S. federal government would wreak havoc throughout the economies of the world, because the U.S. Federal Reserve note in our day is the world reserve currency for all the nations of the world. It has been prophesied by prophets that there will yet be an economic implosion as a result of accumulated national and global debt. You don't have to look far to see the vulnerability and dangerous circumstances that we find ourselves in as the dollar has been leveraged into massive amounts, trillions of dollars of debt. Back up to verse 5. All this iniquity had come upon the people, because they did yield themselves unto the power of Satan. The plan to destroy the United States of America has been in print since 1848, when Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, two German philosophers, put into print what's known as the Communist Manifesto. Everything that you can see happening in the streets of America today, and within the governments throughout the world who seek to put in place kings and monarchs in our modern day to overthrow constitutional republics, which give the right of governance to the people, is before our very eyes. This might be a good time to recommend that we go back to October of 1979 and revisit a talk given by President Ezra Taft Benson, then the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. His talk was called A Witness and a Warning. In that talk, he said, quote, "Communism introduced into the world a substitute for true religion. It is a counterfeit of the gospel plan. The false prophets of communism predict a utopian society. This, they proclaim, will only be brought about as capitalism and free enterprise are overthrown, private property abolished, the family as a social unit eliminated, all classes abolished, all governments overthrown, and a communal ownership of property in the classless, stateless society established. Today we are in a battle for the bodies and souls of man. It is a battle between two opposing systems, freedom and slavery, Christ and Antichrist. The struggle is more momentous than a decade ago." This was given in 1979, so imagine now in 2020. "Yet the conventional wisdom says you must learn to live with communism and to give up your ideas about national sovereignty. Tell that to the millions, yea, the scores of millions who have met death or imprisonment under the tyranny of communism. Such would be the death knell of freedom and all we hold dear. God must ever have a free people to prosper his work and bring about Zion." He then quoted the following from a First Presidency warning published to the church on July 3, 1936. "Communism is not a political party nor a political plan under the Constitution. It is a system of government that is the opposite of our constitutional government. Since communism established would destroy our American constitutional government, to support communism is treasonable to our free institutions, and no patriotic American citizen may become either a communist or supporter of communism. We call upon all church members to completely eschew," which means to shun, "communism. The safety of our divinely inspired constitutional government and the welfare of our church imperatively demand that communism shall have no place in America. Signed by Heber J. Grant, J. Reuben Clark, David O. McKay, the First Presidency." President Benson goes on to say, "The truth is we have to a great extent accommodated ourselves to communism. We have permitted ourselves to become encircled by its tentacles. Though we give lip service to the Monroe Doctrine, this has not prevented Cuba from becoming a Soviet military base 90 miles off our coastline, nor has it prevented the takeover of Nicaragua in Central America, the surrender of the Panama Canal, or the infiltration by enemy agents within our American borders. Never before has the land of Zion appeared so vulnerable to so powerful an enemy as the Americas do at present. And our vulnerability is directly attributable to our loss of active faith in the God of this land, who has decreed that we must worship him or be swept off. Too many Americans have lost sight of the truth that God is the source of freedom, the lawgiver, and that personal righteousness is the most important essential to preserving our freedom. So I say with all the energy of my soul that unless we as citizens of this nation forsake our sins, political and otherwise, and return to the fundamental principles of Christianity and of constitutional government, we will lose our political liberties, our free institutions, and will stand in jeopardy before God. No nation which has kept the commandments of God has ever perished, But I say unto you, watch this now, that once freedom is lost, only blood, human blood, will win it back. President Benson then goes on to list four things that we must do in order to save our republic from the disease that causes the fall of nations and the collapse of empires. I highly recommend this talk to each of us at this time. Verse 6, and the regulations of the government were destroyed because of the secret combination of the friends and kindreds of those who murdered the prophets. Verse 7, and they did cause a great contention in the land, insomuch that the more righteous part of the people had nearly all become wicked. Yea, there were but few righteous men among them. Verse 8, and thus 6 years had not passed away, since the more part of the people had turned from their righteousness, like the dog to his vomit, or like the sow to her wallowing in the mire. The 6 years are from 24 AD to 30 AD, and mark the time from when Gidgadoni and Laconius gathered the people all together into a central place with a 7-year storage of provisions to withstand the Gadianton onslaught up to the present time, the 30th year of the reign of the judges. The image of a dog eating its own vomit and a sow wallowing in the mire, which is mud mixed with excrement, are vivid images provided by Mormon to describe the return of these people from basking in the light of the Son of God and partaking of his atoning power to transform their very natures to abject depravity and wickedness. We can all relate to these images with disgust and apprehension to their vile nature. The dog and the pig are two animals that were looked upon as either unclean or with reproach. Think of the words of Goliath as David approached him in the valley of Elah. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Back to 3 Nephi 7, verse 9. Now this secret combination, which had brought so great iniquity upon the people, did gather themselves together, and did place at their head a man whom they did call Jacob. Verse 10. And they did call him their king. Therefore he became a king over this wicked band. And he was one of the chiefest who had given his voice against the prophets who testified of Jesus. 11. And it came to pass that they were not so strong in number, this is Jacob's band, as were the tribes of the people who were united together, save it were their leaders did establish their laws, every one according to his tribe. Nevertheless, they were enemies. Notwithstanding they were not a righteous people, yet they were united in the hatred of those who had entered into a covenant to destroy the government. Nobody here in this society at this time is pleased or happy that the central government has been destroyed. That has become a great inconvenience for them. Security, trade and commerce, and central government regulations which provide for maintaining peace and order among the people have now all vanished. No wonder all of the tribes are united in their hatred toward this band which has brought upon them chaos and confusion. But their hatred is misdirected. All of this loss, confusion, chaos, and disorder is really the result of individual men and women yielding themselves, as it says in verse 5, to the power of Satan. We can play the blame game all we want, but it comes down to the individual choice as to whether to love, honor, and embrace God and light, or to love and embrace darkness and Satan and his works of fallen flesh. And Satan came among them, saying, I am also a son of God. And he commanded them, saying, Believe it not. And they believed it not, and they loved Satan more than God. That's the part you want to underline. And men began from that time forth to be carnal, sensual, and devilish. Moses chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. Verse 12. Therefore Jacob, seeing that their enemies were more numerous than they, he being the king of this band, therefore he commanded his people that they should take their flight into the northernmost part of the land, and there build up to themselves a kingdom, until they were joined by dissenters, for he flattered them that there would be many dissenters, and they become sufficiently strong to contend with the tribes of the people. And they did so. Verse 13, and so speedy was their march that it could not be impeded until they had gone forth out of the reach of the people. And thus ended the 30th year, and thus were the affairs of the people of Nephi. Verse 14, and it came to pass in the 31st year that they were divided into tribes, every man according to his family, kindred, and friends. Nevertheless, they had come to an agreement that they would not go to war one with another, but they were not united as to their laws and their manner of government. There is no more United States, for they were established according to the minds of those who were their chiefs and their leaders. But they did establish very strict laws that one tribe should not trespass against another. Insomuch that in some degree they had peace in the land, nevertheless their hearts were turned from the Lord their God. And they did stone the prophets and did cast them out from amongst them. Verse 15 now begins a ministry of Nephi, the son of Helaman. Within the next 3 to 3.5 years, this man and his brother Timothy will witness with their own eyes and hear with their own ears and touch with their own hands the resurrected Christ, who will call them to be among the 12 of his disciples commissioned to minister to the people here upon the American continent. Verse 15, and it came to pass that Nephi, having been visited by angels, and also the voice of the Lord, therefore having seen angels, and being eyewitness, and having had power given unto him that he might know concerning the ministry of Christ, and also being eyewitness to their quick return from righteousness unto their wickedness and abomination. 16, therefore, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, went forth among them in that same year and began to testify boldly repentance and remission of sins through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. The training and tutoring, the mentoring of Nephi at this point is under the direction of angels and by conversing with the Lord through the veil. Verse 17, and he did minister many things unto them, and all of them cannot be written, and a part of them would not suffice. Therefore they are not written in this book, and Nephi did minister with power and with great authority. The details of Nephi's ministry during this next 3 years are all carefully recorded and archived in sacred places. These sacred records in this apostate society would need to be carefully guarded in order for them to be preserved. It's interesting that Mormon makes a decision to not include the details of Nephi's ministry in his abridgment. He has the complete record before him and knows that at a future day those records will come forth. Remember that as Mormon is making his abridgment of this part of the Nephite history, there are serious resource and time constraints placed upon him because of the condition of the Nephite people in the day in which he's living. He is the general over all the Nephite armies at the time when he's abridging these words that we're reading in 3 Nephi 7. Go forward and read Mormon chapter 5 to get a feel for what's happening with Mormon and his people politically and upon the battlefield at the time when he's making his abridgment of the plates of Nephi. Mormon chapter 5 verses 1 through 8 will be sufficient to give you this understanding. Back to 3 Nephi 7 verse 18, and it came to pass that they were angry with him, with Nephi, even because he had greater power than they, for it were not possible that they could disbelieve his words. For so great was his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ that angels did minister unto him daily. Verse 19, and in the name of Jesus did he cast out devils and unclean spirits, and even his brother did he raise from the dead after he had been stoned and suffered death by the people. It is impossible for the wicked to confound Nephi or to catch him in his words. This leaves them with only one alternative, and that is to kill him and to silence him. No doubt many attempts were made by the people to seize him, to throw him into prison, or to murder him outright. These angels who minister to him protect him and shield him from any and all attempts to silence this ministry. This is a pattern for the elect of God, his servants who are being called to gather in from the four quarters of the earth, the scattered tribes of Israel, to rescue them and through miraculous means bring them to places of safety and refuge. These verses we're reading about Nephi right here are the pattern for future translated men and women ordained by angels to bring as many as will come to the church of the firstborn. Their faith is so unshakable in the Lord Jesus Christ that they testify boldly and fearlessly repentance and remission of sins through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, they are filled with power and with great authority. Therefore, that which they do and speak cannot be disbelieved by the wicked. The wicked have no power over their bodies. They can appear and disappear at will. The elements of the fallen earth have no power over them, and those elements obey their command as though they were God. One of the first things that Nephi does in his rescue and reclamation mission is to cast out devils and unclean spirits. This is the pattern for those laborers and rescuers of the latter days. They will first of all cast out devils and unclean spirits from those to whom they minister, knowing that this priesthood ordinance must precede the healing and making whole of the people spiritually, physically, emotionally, and psychologically. Darkness must be cast out before the healing light of Jesus Christ can complete the ordinance and bring about the sanctification of God's rescued children. All devils, unclean spirits, demons, creatures of the dark, created dark artificial intelligence, and the array of weaponry developed by these evil ones to destroy the children of God here in the celestial world must be removed from their dark hiding places of affliction and possession. Weapons removed and the soul healed, and a person brought to a place where the atonement of Christ can then have its full effect in the redemption of man. Verse 20, and the people saw it and did witness of it. That means Nephi raising his dead brother Timothy, and were angry with him because of his power. And he did also do many more miracles in the sight of the people in the name of Jesus. All of these signs, wonders, and miracles, and mighty works done by Nephi and other holy men and women at this time leave the people without excuse in the day of judgment, which is about to dawn upon them. Verse 21, came to pass that the 31st year did pass away, and there were but few who were converted unto the Lord. But as many as were converted did truly signify unto the people that they had been visited by the power and the Spirit of God, which was in Jesus Christ, in whom they believed. Verse 22, and as many as had devils cast out from them, and were healed of their sickness and their infirmities. Did you see that order right there? Before the healing of sickness and infirmities takes place, you cast out the devils and unclean spirits. Back to verse 22. They did truly manifest unto the people that they had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God and been healed. And they did show forth signs also, and did do some miracles among the people. Signs follow them that believe. Verse 23, thus passed away the 32nd year also, and Nephi did cry unto the people in the commencement of the 33rd year, and he did preach unto them repentance and remission of sins. It is a great privilege for those commissioned of the Lord to preach the gospel of repentance, of baptism, for the remission of sins, and the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, which brings a remission of sins. There is no greater message in the celestial world than this. This is the core and the heart of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through his suffering and death, the condition of repentance is brought to pass, whereby men and women can access the great plan of mercy, have their sins and the effects of those sins remitted and removed, so that they stand before the Lord, purified, cleansed, sanctified, holy, without spot. Verse 24. Now I would have you to remember also that there were none who were brought unto repentance who were not baptized with water. 25. Therefore, there were ordained of Nephi men unto this ministry, that all such as should come unto them should be baptized with water, and this as a witness and a testimony before God and unto the people that they had repented and received a remission of their sins. 26, and there were many in the commencement of this year, that's the 33rd year, that were baptized unto repentance, and thus the more part of the year did pass away. And thus we come to a point where the people, just before the great cleansing that precedes the appearance of the Son of God, find themselves either ascending in light or descending into darkness. There is no middle ground at this time in these verses. There has been a great polarization in this society, and the people, by their choices and their works, proclaim which side they are on and who their father is. May we learn from these verses and be prepared for that which is coming, a great train wreck for those who love darkness, and a great vindication for those who love light and have put their trust in the Lord their God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.